What if your primary home didn't tie you down, but actually gave you the freedom to leave? Today's guest didn't buy his second home first, but when an unexpected job opportunity took him to Buenos Aires, he turned his primary home into a short-term rental, covering his mortgage and more.
What if your 401k came with a fire pit and a lake view? That's the question that inspired it all. I'm Katie Klein, and living in New York City meant buying a home felt impossible. So I decided to flip the script and buy my second home first. When I'm not there, it doubles as a short-term rental, covering its costs, building equity, and even turning a profit. And best of all, it gives me a place to vacation for free. What 401k can do that? Every week, join me as we hear from real people who've done the same and experts who can help you do it too. If you thought owning any home, let alone a second one, was out of reach, this is the show for you. This is Second Home First.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Second Home First. I'm your host, Katie Klein, and today we have a really exciting Real Stories episode for you all. Our guest today is Taylor Smith, and his story is a little bit of a departure from what we usually talk about. Taylor didn't buy his second home first. Instead, he bought a primary home in Denver with the intention of eventually turning it into a short-term rental. And when an unexpected work opportunity in Buenos Aires arose, he was able to hop on a flight knowing his mortgage would be covered by his rental income. That's the power of optionality. Taylor also works at Turno, a marketplace that connects short-term rental owners with cleaners and service providers. So he's bringing an insider perspective on one of the most overlooked and most important parts of running a successful rental. We talk about how growing up with parents who invested in real estate got him interested early, the systems he was able to implement to manage his short-term rental from abroad, and how a conversation with a friend made him realize that buying a home can be a lot simpler than we think. If you're also looking for more income, more options, and more freedom in your life, and you like the idea of owning a vacation home that pays for itself, I hope you'll join us in the inaugural class of the Second Home First Academy. We're kicking off on April 8th, and in just 5 weeks, I'll teach you the exact four-step framework I used to find, furnish, and finance my three vacation homes so you can do it too. There are only a few spots remaining, so be sure to visit buyyoursecondhomefirst.com/academy to sign up today. So without further ado, let's hear from Taylor.
Taylor, in your experience, how much does cleanliness impact reviews and repeat bookings?
Yeah, I think this is a core attribute of your property. What I do right now, so at Turno, we are a marketplace for cleaners where we can go find cleaners and help you turn over your properties easier. And one of the things in my journey as a short-term rental owner is I depend on finding these cleaners, making sure that they're showing up to my property and making sure that, you know, my house is being turned over to a standard that I see appropriate or that a guest feels like they have entered a home that is that kind of value that they paid for. And so I think, you know, coming to a home, you and I have probably stayed at a short-term rental and got in there and maybe it's not the most clean and it ruins the experience. And so I really put an emphasis on my property where my cleaner comes in, they clean it. I have images. I have proof that everything that I want done in the house is to a standard. You know, I've had those instances where it's not, you know, something is missed, like the shower, and a guest has replied to me and told me about the situation. They're, you know, you get those good guests, but, you know, there is that sometimes where you get that bad guest and it reflects on the reviews. And you know, reviews are like currency, right? So you really need to make sure that you are holding a standard and having that cleanliness always done correctly.
I could not agree more. I come from the hotel industry originally. And when I was working for a brand called Le Meridian, we did this research that said in the first 10 minutes, a guest makes up their mind about their entire stay. And I think about it like you just said, when I walk into a short-term rental, everything that leads up to that moment and when I first walk in is going to either make me say this is going to be a great place, or it's going to make me have that critical eye on looking at every single corner, trying to find something else that's wrong. And I think cleanliness is such a huge portion of this. Yes, it's about like, did the light come on if I'm arriving at night? And did I have to fish around for a key, or did they give me a personalized key code? And is the house warm in the winter and cold in the summer? But more than anything, if I walk in and there's a smell, or there's dirty corners or crumbs left on the table, it gives that ick factor that right away is putting me not at ease.
Yeah. And maybe we start with some tips and tricks, but sometimes I'll schedule a clean right before the guest is arriving. So that way it has that clean smell to it. And it's, you know, as they arrive, it's ready to go. So sometimes it's worth waiting maybe a day or two, you know, if you can.
Exactly. And I think actually what you're talking about with Turno, and I want to talk a bit more about what the platform does, because it has been so crucial to my success as a short-term rental host. But a lot of what I hear from people who are considering buying a vacation home and renting it out is, I don't want other people sleeping in my bed, right? There's this kind of like, oh, I don't want other guests in my house. And I totally understand that concern. But then I usually respond and say, well, have you ever stayed in a hotel? Because by and large, someone slept there the night before you and is going to sleep there the night after you leave, right? So actually, having an amazing cleaning team that you trust means every time you arrive to your vacation home, you're almost arriving to a perfectly clean 5-star hotel experience. Personally, when I arrive to my primary home that I rent, it doesn't look like that all the time. It's usually a mess and I haven't fixed things from this morning or cleaned up my kids' toys or what have you. So this is a great way to not only make sure your guests are having a great experience, but to have an incredible experience every time you arrive at your own property too.
Yeah, absolutely. And at Turno, we have chat functionality where you can talk with your cleaners. And I talk with mine all the time. And if I'm arriving and I'm using my house, say I want to go to my short-term rentals in Denver, if I wanted to go to Denver for a weekend, I can have them use my own sheets. If that's, you know, a game changer for you, you can get the mattress protector and all that. But yeah, it's, you know, we all stay at hotels and other Airbnbs, and you don't think twice about it. I definitely had that concern when I started. So it's not normal, but I can understand. But how I deal with it is, you know, I have my own personal sheets, and my parents are also short-term rental investors, and they have their linens that when we do family trips, those are the linens we use. Those are the towels we use. If you're kind of that, you know, germaphobe, maybe I'm not that much of a germaphobe, but I definitely feel it.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about Turno, because obviously when you are investing in a place to buy a vacation home, most people, including myself, have no idea where to begin in terms of finding a cleaning team. Like, how do I even find people to interview and then select from? So talk a bit about the bread and butter of what Turno does.
Yeah. So the bread and butter is Turno is a marketplace where if you're a host and you're connected to Airbnb or your platform, we provide a marketplace of cleaners. So in your area, most likely there is a team of cleaners that you can go reach out to and basically interview and say, here's my property. Here's the aspects of it. It's this many square feet. It's this many bedrooms. I think it's going to take this much time to clean it. And then we go run a search and go find the people that are best fitted for you. And then we have a bidding system where they can bid and say, well, I can charge this amount for your property, or I can charge this amount. And this is the way that you can kind of evaluate your different cleaners, because you're not going to find the best one just one off. I'll connect with them. But it's really good to evaluate who's coming into your house, look at their reviews, understand if this is going to be a good fit. And then we also provide backup cleaners. So I have actually 3 cleaners on my team and 1 service provider. So those cleaners, they can, you know, they get the project out there. They can see if it works for their schedule and accept my offer of the project, which is automated. So every time I get a booking, my cleaner just gets the project and takes it, and I don't have to think about it. I'll dive deeper into this conversation about how I got my first property, and I moved outside the country for 4 months, and how I needed to navigate this. I think I really depended on Turno, and it's my primary like function for my properties.
Wow.
I truly rely on everything for it.
That's amazing. So let's talk about the bidding process, because I thought that this was so helpful. Essentially, I find a property. I know I like it because I like the destination as a guest. But as I said, I have no idea any cleaners. I put my property online. I'm saying, this is my address, how many bedrooms, bathrooms, approximate square footage. And then Turno brings cleaners to me. So essentially, these cleaners can say, that's an area I service. That's a, you know, size of home that I'm comfortable with. Here's what I think it's going to cost. And that right away I found super helpful, because rather than me guessing what it was going to be priced at, I was getting a variety of quotes from people. So I could say, okay, that actually feels fair because six other people have quoted that, or that one feels sneakily low and I wonder what else is there. So I thought that that was a really interesting functionality that Turno brings. Once you're connected and you're able to say, I'm going to, you know, start with a chat and, you know, ask people some questions that are important to you, if you do want to arrange a meet and greet in person, what are some of the questions or maybe tips that you can give vacation homeowners to find the right cleaner for them?
Yeah, great question. I think some of the things that I would look at if I was talking to my cleaner for the first time is share your experience with other short-term rentals in the area. You know, there is a difference between a regular residential cleaning and a short-term rental cleaning. And what they do is they provide pictures on the platform as well. So you can see what their inventory organization looks like. So making sure that when they're making the bed, what it looks like, are they doing nice touches? That always goes a long way with the guest. Another thing is communication. If you're talking to this person and they're not responding to you within, you know, say an hour or a couple of hours, then maybe that's not the person you want. You also want to build a connection where you feel like you can ask questions. I'm always, you know, even when I know it's a solid framework and I know they're coming to clean the home, I always like to say, you know, hey, how's the home doing? Do I need to fill anything out? And, you know, they're happy to say, Taylor, you're okay. Everything's through the app. Everything's filled with your inventory. But being able to just rely on them and have that good kind of relationship so that you can feel free to talk to them and have them answer any questions.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. When I was finally ready to rent out my vacation home, I had no idea what to charge guests. Thankfully, that's when I found Price Labs, a dynamic pricing tool that helps me automate pricing like a pro. It's simple. Price Labs uses real-time data to automatically adjust my rates based on local demand, nearby events, and booking trends. It's easy to use, lets me set my own minimum and maximum prices, and keeps my pricing smart and competitive without any manual work. If you want your vacation home to pay for itself or even turn a profit, you need Price Labs to help you get the most from every booking. Visit the link in the show notes and enter code SECONDHOMEFIRST, all one word, for a 30-day free trial plus $10 off your first invoice. You finally bought your dream vacation home. Now what? Your goal is for it to pay for itself, but between managing bookings, guest messages, and cleaners, it can feel like a full-time job. That's where Lodgify comes in. Lodgify is a comprehensive vacation rental platform that makes it easy to manage and market your second home, even if you're just getting started. From syncing your calendar across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com to automating payments and guest communication, Lodgify simplifies it all. It's built for beginners and comes with free one-on-one onboarding to help you get up and running fast. To make your second home start working for you, visit the link in the show notes and use code SHF20, that's S as in second, H as in home, F as in first, 20, to receive an additional 20% off their yearly and bi-yearly plans. And now back to the show. Yes. I mean, my cleaning teams, I do not say this lightly, my business, the ability for my vacation home to pay for itself would not exist if it wasn't for a strong cleaning team, because they're really like the eyes and ears of the property when I'm not there. My closest property is about 3 hours away from me. My furthest is about 5 hours away from me. So like you said, having someone come in who I can trust has made sure that the coffee is full, or can tell me, hey, you're running low on Nespresso pods, or hey, something is off, or there's a different smell than usual. Just those little things to be those eyes and ears is so crucial. And you touched on automation, which I want to get to, but it sounds like there's an incredible story personally that you have about why automation has been so crucial to you. So I guess let's back up for a minute and tell us how you got into renting your home as a short-term rental, because you had first purchased this as a primary home, right?
Yeah. So I've had a lot of mentors, and even going back to when I was a kid, my parents, I think they had 60 doors growing up, and you know, having three kids, you have many workers. And so we would go to the properties and, you know, we were dealing with tenant issues or, you know, cleaning the basement. We've done it all. And so that's where I really got into this love for property management and kind of this world. And I kind of just fell into it. But, you know, I did have a mentor in Denver, and I was renting, and kind of just that ideation that we have right now, which is like, I'm sick of renting right now. Like, I think I should be buying an asset. And one of my friends she's a long-term middle school friend even, she was buying like seven homes. And I was like, how are you doing this? Like, are you making more money than me? Is it this? And I sat down with her, and she kind of explained that, you know, it's a lot simpler than we make it sound. And I think there is this generational, you know, the 20% down, and this is what you know, your home is your shelter, and then you live in your home, and then you sell it down the road at a long time period. But I've learned that it doesn't work like that. And so, you know, I won't get into all of it, but, you know, there are some methodologies that make it more reasonable to do. And so, yes, I bought my first property as a primary, but I had the intention of turning it into a rental property. And the ways I was doing this financially was, because it was my primary, I was able to put a reasonable amount down. And then I could, after a while, turn it into my second home, which my short-term rental home. And then from there, I was going to make my decision on, do I want to keep expanding and buying more short-term rentals? I had some, it was a busy 2025, so just traveling everywhere. And it kind of worked out where, at the time, after living in it for a year and a half, 2 years, turning it into a short-term rental was the right move. And I was able to have a ton of freedom where, like, I wasn't locked into having to pay rent. Somebody's paying rent and paying for my travel to go to South America, go visit family in New York, or kind of, you know, the freedom to do whatever I wanted. So it was kind of just this beautiful year, and this Airbnb really opened that up for me.
Wow. I love this. And this is exactly why I love having these conversations, because if you ask 10 people how they made this possible for themselves, you'll get 10 different answers. And that's great, because what you started saying was, in a way, you felt like you should buy your primary home. And I agree. I feel like we're all programmed that way. Like, throwing away money on rent is bad, and we need to be owning a home. And are we a real adult if we don't own a home? But I love how you approached this from the beginning, which was like, I will take this traditional step, but I'll take it because it works for me. Because like you said, when you're buying a primary residence, you could be looking at as little as 3.5% down, as opposed to 10% down for a second home. So right away there, that makes that entry-level price point more affordable. Were you also, because I know Denver is like all places where there are different regulations depending upon where you live and where the home is, when you were buying as a primary, were you mindful of short-term rental regulations at that time too?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that compliance is a huge area in this space, and Denver is particularly maybe stricter, but definitely being compliant there. So I started off actually with 30-day rentals because I was moving down to South America. And I was like, okay, I'm nervous. I don't know if I can do this like right off the bat. But I did the 30-day rental because that's what Denver allows. Then because it's still my primary residence, I was able to transfer it to a short-term rental license. And then, so that first renter coming in, it was a little bit easy because I had the midterm rental under my belt and I kind of understood the communication and the needs. So, you know, now that is short-term rental, it's kind of running like a well-oiled machine and it's, you know, I barely have to touch it.
And when was the first time that you rented it out as the midterm rental? How long ago was that now?
Yeah, that was March, maybe 2024.
Okay, so pretty recent. Within 2 years-ish, you've started doing this. Amazing. And how has it been going since then? Are you back living in that house or what have you done? I know you said you moved down to South America for a minute. So tell us a bit about how it's gone.
Yeah, so for work, actually for Turno, we have a team down in Buenos Aires and they asked me to go down there to work on this new product that we were launching. And what happened was I started living down there. I rented out my place and I kind of like let that be. It was fine to have it on my own. And then the company was having me stay at a Airbnb down in Buenos Aires. And I was able to communicate with my different tenants through the application of Airbnb, but also through Turno when I needed something cleaned or something fixed. So I just got this opportunity where I was, you know, the company was allowing me to stay in Buenos Aires while my house is being rented at the same time. You know, I couldn't live in Buenos Aires for the whole year, unfortunately. So when I moved back, I actually moved back into my Denver property. And I kind of treated it as I was staying in a short-term rental. It wasn't my own. It was just kind of like, okay, I need to wait until I'm going to my next place. This is where I was kind of debating if I was going to buy a new property or if I was going to move somewhere else. So right now I'm in San Francisco. I live with my girlfriend right now, but you know, I will live in Denver 6 months out of the year so that I can keep that as my primary. And then, you know, we were kind of talking about it earlier, but you know, I'm fiending for my next place now and I want to keep going and, you know, wherever I end up, I'll buy that primary, live in it for a couple of years and then focus on buying the next one.
Incredible. And has the property been able to cover its costs while you've been gone?
Yeah. So it's an interesting topic. And my dad and I actually go back and forth because we both own short-term rentals. They own a few more than I do, but you know, cash flow right now, that's what you want, right? So everyone thinks like, oh, you buy this home and it's going to cash flow. But you have to look at it. Sometimes it does cash flow, but then there's other, you know, where it's the appreciation that you're after and it's the long-term hold that you're looking at. So you have to look at it from different angles. But I think, you know, right now I'm very fortunate in a place like Denver. I'm able to cover my mortgage and the entirety of it. So basically I'm not paying rent, if you'd call it like that. But yeah, being able to cover the mortgage through the slow months, you know, you have to think about seasonality. You have to think about, you know, the off months that you might not hit that mortgage. And if you're going to be covered, do you feel like you're financially stable enough to cover, you know, if there was a year without rentals? Hopefully that wouldn't happen. But, you know, having a plan going forward, I think is one of the most important things.
Yes. And I completely agree. And when we're talking about cash flow, we're essentially saying, if you look at a 12-month basis, all of your expenses, mortgage, insurance, heating, electricity, spending money on Nespresso pods, toilet paper, all of that stuff, plus the money that you've made from short-term rentals, are you covering those costs? Are you profiting off of it? If you're profiting off of it, you're extra, then you have what we're considering cash flow in this conversation. And That's great to have. I personally like to have that. All three of my properties right now are cash flowing, which is wonderful. But I'm actually not looking at that as an income stream right now. If anything, I'm looking at that for two things. Number one, I like to have each of my properties have 6 months of costs and savings. It just sits there in a high yield savings account because, like we saw with COVID, for example, I wasn't a host at that time. But what I heard was overnight, all bookings were canceled. And, you know, the short-term rental host who didn't plan for seasonality, like you said, didn't have that savings, panicked and potentially sold in a fire sale because everything was selling very low at first and then very, very high. But those that were able to survive that hiccup of a month or so, then those bookings came back so big and, you know, more at higher rates than ever before. So I think especially people who are interested in this show, we're not necessarily looking at this as I'm going to quit my job tomorrow and I'm going to live off the money that my properties are making me right now. I mean, that'd be lovely. We would all, I think, appreciate that. But it's like you said, too, the fact that I now can own three assets and I'm not paying any money for them, so that one day if I choose to sell them or if I want to take out a home equity loan or home equity line of credit, I can do that. That blows my mind. Like if we think about a 401k or investing in the stock market, in order for that money to grow, I have to put money into it, right? So we're saying with this, yes, we needed the money to acquire it and to set it up, but then somebody else is putting in their money every single month and that's making my equity grow. And we get to enjoy it now. 6 months of the year, you get to live there rent-free without paying for any cost of living. When I go up to my properties, I get to have a free vacation now, not waiting for 65-year-old Katie to get to have all the fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to put it. And it's awesome that your properties are cash flowing. And I think you're doing it in the right way. I always hear that where it's, well, you could put that money into the stock market and it would grow at a higher rate, but you know, you're not putting 500,000 to a million in the stock market. Somebody else is doing that. The banks are doing that. And you have to, you know, leverage is great, but you know, you have to make sure that the leverage does cover the risk. But you know, with real estate, we've just always seen it grow. Yes, you get ups and downs in the market, just like you do in the S&P. But you know, being able to leverage money on your loan and put into this market, and also the benefits of, you know, I have a Denver home that I could go to a Red Rock show whenever I want and just book it out. Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. I saw recently the first vacation home that we bought it about 3 years ago now. I saw another house in a similar location, similar size, looked the way our house looked when we bought it 3 years ago. So not as nice as it does now with what we've done. They listed it for $275,000 more than we bought ours for. And that doesn't mean they're going to get it, doesn't mean it will sell. I haven't, you know, checked in on, you know, what happened with that. But right away, that's showing me, like, even in this post-COVID world, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, you can't afford anything now, or you can't cash flow now. All of the good deals were then. Yes, but it's that old saying in real estate and in most things in life, which was like, the best time to invest was yesterday. The next best time to invest is today. And I want to go back to something you talked about with automation, because like you said, you went and you moved to South America. Now you're living on the West Coast. It sounds like automation is key. So can you talk a bit about how Turno automates things so that it is really easy for you to manage from afar?
Yeah, absolutely. So I use Airbnb, and I strictly use Airbnb. And what Turno does really well is it will partner with Airbnb and it connects all of my bookings. So when I get a booking, I instantly get a notification that says, you have a new booking at a new project and we're looking for cleaners. My cleaners are notified and then they select the project. Whoever takes it first gets it. I can set it where I have my primary cleaner always gets the bid first, but then I can have, if I don't hear from my cleaner A, then my secondary cleaner will be able to accept the project. And then I have a cleaner C who also can do that as well. So I just know that I'm always covered because most likely three schedules, one's going to be able to cover that. So that to me is like the automation that I need in order to, I don't have to keep checking an application or go on my computer and be like, okay, this person's checking out soon. I have a same day cleaning. Do I need to make sure to coordinate that with my cleaners? It's all in the system, which makes it really easy. And sometimes I'll check it just to make sure that everything's on track. But, Turno does a really good job of just automating all of those services. Some of the things that I've worked on this year, and I'm a product manager at Turno. So I'm building things, and I always joke that I'm building things that I want, as an owner. So, things like, reoccurring services. I don't have a hot tub, but think about it from this example. If you had a hot tub that needed to be cleaned every time a guest checks out, unless you have a cleaner that's going to know how to run a hot tub, usually you need like a specialist, and you can create recurring automation where you can set it up with somebody outside the platform. So every time somebody checks out, you initiate the conversation with your hot tub cleaner, and then they can make sure to automate that service every time. Same thing with like inspections. You can put in an inspector, and every post cleaning, they can come in, check the house, which is another guarantee that like, okay, I'm not just like my guest isn't checking in and I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for that text from them to be like, something's messed up. You have your inspector to like automate that and again, put you at ease.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors. Interior design is one of my favorite parts of buying a second home. I love creating a beautiful space. But let's be honest, staying on budget, managing orders, tracking deliveries, and juggling countless retailers can get overwhelming fast, which is why so many hosts turn to Manoan. With Manoan, you can shop more than 180 brands you love all in one place. That's brands like Crate & Barrel, Samsung, Anthropologie, Article, Casper, and so many more. They give you access to better-than-trade pricing, something typically reserved for professional designers, allowing you to save on every purchase. They keep every order, delivery, and receipt organized in one clean dashboard. And the best part, there's no membership fee, no subscription, no catch, just a streamlined approach with big savings. Once your second home is set up, Manoan can even make it shoppable. Your place basically becomes a four-walled influencer. So after guests spend a weekend obsessing over your couch or those sheets or that coffee maker, they can scan your QR code and order the exact same item for their own home. You earn a commission, no extra work required. To furnish smarter, visit Manoan.com/secondhome to sign up and receive a free $25 in credit. Finding the right cleaning team has been absolutely crucial to the success of my second homes. They're my eyes and ears on the property when I'm not there, spotting issues early, keeping standards high, and helping me wow guests time and again. But finding someone local you actually trust? That wasn't always easy, until I found Turno. Turno connects you with vetted cleaners who understand the demands of short-term rentals in your specific market. Their app makes everything simple, from auto-scheduling your cleans to photo and video checklists that ensure your property looks exactly the way you want, and even automatic payments after each clean is completed. Click the link in the show notes to check out Turno and get $25 off your first cleaning. If you're listening to this show, I know making memories with family and friends is super important to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce you to Flightographer. Flightographer connects travelers with local photographers in more than 350 destinations around the world. But it's more than just a photo shoot. It's a way to capture meaningful memories and experience a place through a local's lens. When I look back on past Flightographer photo shoots I've done, I don't just see pictures, but special moments preserved. I remember the feeling of that day and the story behind every shot. Whether you're celebrating a milestone birthday, a family vacation, or a special getaway to your second home, Flightographer is there to capture the moments you never want to forget. To book your own Flightographer shoot, visit the link in the show notes and use code SHF25, that's S as in second, H as in home, F as in first, 25, to get $25 off your first shoot. And now back to the show. Inspector is such a great point. And you had mentioned this earlier too about scheduling your cleaner closer to when the next guest check-in is. And it's really true, especially like in the winter right now, we just arrived to one of our properties and we walked into a flood on our kitchen floor and a flooded basement. And we actually got super lucky that that had happened just before we happened to arrive. But you could imagine if a guest was checking in and that's what they walked into, you know, kiss my five stars goodbye. But also like, are they going to leave? Do I have to refund them entirely? Like the scramble to fix it versus we were on site and able to fix it ourselves. So having someone you trust to be able to come in and check things. Or one of my properties is in the middle of the woods. So in the wintertime, as much as I try preventatively, sometimes we might get a little critter who wants to come inside. You know, making sure that it's my cleaning team or my inspector who's the one to find that, as opposed to, God forbid, a guest finding that, is so crucial. And you talked a little bit about this with service providers, but Turno now, I understand, is evolving to be more than just a marketplace for cleaners, but a marketplace for service providers, like you mentioned, with somebody to service the hot tub or an inspector. Can you talk a bit about that? Like what else Turno is now starting to offer its clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in my property, I just had a guest who, you know, it's still winter in Denver and the heating turned off. And this is a typical problem, but you know, it's outside that cleaning world. It's still something that we want automated. And we also want services being done on the property. And most people, you know, you can have your team members that you use outside the platform, but we really want to bring in the full kind of service of a property into the Turno platform. So some of the things we're thinking about is, you know, what are the typical issues that a homeowner deals with or a short-term rental owner deals with? So plumbing, electrician, you know, HVACs, things like that. But being able to go and find that person to go and attack the problem. You know, I, as a homeowner, I've had the issue where somebody comes to me with that kind of issue and I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know who to call. And you kind of panic. And it's a little scary for your first time, but then the second time, you're kind of like, okay, now I have my person and how do I like automate these types of communications with my service provider and how do I attack these problems and make sure that the guest is happy? And, you know, that's another thing that could ruin your review. If you have something that breaks, you want to make sure that you're fixing it as fast as possible and making sure that their experience continues to be a joyful one and not having to do some like serious repairs. So it's, again, having the plan, making sure that you have your people, and that's what Turno is doing, is making sure that you have the people to have boots on the ground. Like I said, I'm in San Francisco. I need to have people in Denver who are looking out for my home.
Something that my husband and I talk a lot about is acting more like the CEOs of our vacation homes rather than, like, we joke, like the operations manager or something, because we are people who are very used to doing the doing. So we can paint, we can YouTube a lot of things and figure out how to DIY many, many things. But that takes a lot of time. And we both work full time. We have two children. As I mentioned, we live between 3 and 5 hours away from all three of our properties. So what we're shifting into more is, yes, it might cost more money to outsource the work, but it actually makes more sense for us time-wise. And, you know, time is money at the end of the day. So what are some operational systems you see that separate the hosts who know how to operate their business more sustainably and the others who maybe are overwhelming themselves or risking burning out?
Yeah. And I'll start by saying that in short-term rental hosting world, it's not for the faint of heart, right? It's it really is. You know, when you look at it from the outside, I don't think you realize the difficulty it can be to run a property. There is a lot of things that go wrong and you have to be able to handle them like a CEO. You know, there's always going to be fires. There's always going to be communications that you have to get to. So there's always that. But I think if you have that strategic plan in place and you make sure that within, you know, your property, you are aware of everything in that property. I see a lot of people working on plans in their home. So where is my database of everything in the house that could go wrong? Do I have the models of those items? Do I have the paint colors where I can go either outsource it? But I would encourage people, especially when they're starting, margins can be tight depending on what kind of property you bought and why you're buying it. And I think learning the skill sets of, like I talked about when I was a kid, you know, we wouldn't go call a plumber. We would go under the sink, figure out how to do it, pull up a YouTube video, and you would see how much margin you're saving by just doing it yourself. So there's a lot of things that you can. And I think having the mindset of learning and doing it yourself, I think in the long run helps. I also think the strategy behind purchasing a home that needs a little bit of value add, I think that this is a really important way to invest, because if you can go in there and get your hands dirty and be able to make minor fixes, you gave the example of the home you had seen for 200 plus more on the market. That's part of your strategic decision. Are you going to buy a new build that doesn't have much maintenance needed to it? Or are you going to buy this new home that, you know, you can add some value and increase the value of your home that way?
Yeah. I love everything you're talking about, because it comes back to optionality and like, who are you and what works for you? If you want to keep as much profit as possible, and I have a super fun quiz on my website where you can figure out what your vacation home owner archetype is. If you're a profit maximizer, which by and large I am, I want to maximize the amount of money that I can earn on these properties, you might want to self-manage, but that might mean a bit more work. If you're someone who wants less work, less headache, doesn't want to be thinking about these things, you can hire a management company. You can hire a co-host, and you're still going to have to be in charge. You're still going to want to make sure that you're happy with how the operations are going, but that's taking a lot away from you as well. And similar to what you're talking about with like, are you doing the doing because maybe this is your first property, you have the time, you want to save the money, or do you have the money and not have the time and you want to outsource it? And in that case, how do you plan for that rainy day? I loved the examples you gave about writing down the models of the equipment in your home and even the paint colors. I mean, you're making me think I need to make a list so that when I go to my properties, I can almost have this cheat sheet, right? Even I think about for the property I co-host, I'm like, where's the internet router? Where's the boiler? Where are all the logistics so that inevitably when something goes wrong, I'm prepared? So this has been such an insightful conversation. If you had to leave listeners, viewers with one final nugget of advice, what would you say?
Number one, start early if you can. Take the jump. It's worth it in the end. And I guarantee you'll have the rough days, but in the end, it is so worth it to have that freedom. Two, find mentors, people who are doing this already. If you're listening to this, you're already one step ahead, but going to meetups and speaking with mentors who have done this, you'd be surprised how many people are helpful. And then three, do some research. Look at your initial tools. You know, you look in like pricing dynamic companies and property management systems that you can use. Do your research, look at your financials and see how this can work for you. So I highly recommend it. It's been the best choice I've ever made.
Tyler, thank you so much for sharing all of your brilliance with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Second Home First. If you liked what you heard today, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter at buyyoursecondhomefirst.com, where I share the simple 4-step strategy to help you do the same. If you have a minute to subscribe, rate, or review the show, or even send a favorite episode to a friend, that would mean the absolute world to me. And if you want to be a guest on the show, have a question you want answered, or a topic you think I should cover, send me a note at hello@buyyoursecondhomefirst.com or on social media at @buyyoursecondhomefirst. I personally read and respond to every single message. Once again, I'm your host, Katie Klein, and I can't wait to see you all again next week. The content shared on Second Home First is for educational and informational purposes only. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making any investment or financial decisions.